have you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 20 through 22. Hear the reading of God's word. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. And by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Praise God for the reading of his word. So we're going to look at this morning and consider some of the things that really I want us to look at the blessing of God and how the blessing of God is spoken by faith. Given by God, spoken by men of old, the patriarchs of the faith. And there's some things that we can see in it that really illuminate our humanness in the midst of our faithfulness. So if we go back and sort of return to, we'll go back to Genesis 25. And we're going to look at this, and this is when God begins to speak to Rebekah about her pregnancy. And so just listen to some of this for a moment. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is so, why then am I this way?" So she went on to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth red, all over, like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. And afterward his brother came forth, with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. And when the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Now, Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, I'll stop there for a moment just to point out that some of the stuff that's going on here in this, already God has spoken over these boys. And he said that the older is going to serve the younger. Okay? He's already declared that they're two nations, they're two peoples, and that the older is going to serve the younger. And so basically, this was spoken to her, but I have no doubt that that she would not have kept that from Isaac, okay? Why would she have kept it from him? I mean, but what we found out here is that Isaac loved Esau. I guess he was his favorite. I guess that's sort of what that means. He was the hunter. He had and Esau had a taste. Isaac had a taste for the game and loved it. And so they had that common bond, that camaraderie, and so it was just sort of a natural connection kind of thing. Apparently, on the other hand, Jacob, he was. I can't remember the word that he used there, said that he was a peaceful man. That word also means complete. You know, that he was just, he didn't need to be out in the field, but he had lots of talents and skills. He was no different, and he just wasn't the one that was going to be out there hunting and doing that kind of thing. He had other issues, other things that he liked to do. So they were just different. Now, Rebekah loved Jacob. I'm just speaking here. I'm just assuming. I'm thinking that part of that reason might be because of what God said. about how the older is going to serve the younger. And in the context of relationship, you know, the oldest is the one who gets the birthright, okay? And that's just sort of the way it's done. And so there's a way of doing things, and you can imagine that Isaac is planning on passing the birthright and speaking the blessing over to Esau and being his favorite. And the mother, on the other hand, knows, she's heard the word of God, okay? Does Isaac know what God spoke to her? And if he does, is it just that he's going to try to do it his own way and bless the older rather than the younger? Well, some have said that. Some have sort of proposed that that might be part of what's going on here, is that he's thinking about doing things according to the custom, according to the way they're supposed to be done. It's the older that's supposed to receive the blessing, not the younger one. And so he's planning on doing it that way. Whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, whether God said it's going to be another way or not, he apparently doesn't seem to be considering that. He's just planning on passing the blessing on to Esau. So when Jacob had cooked a stew, he apparently was good at cooking, just about as good as his brother, apparently. And Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And so Esau said to Jacob, "Please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I'm famished." And therefore his name is called Edom. But Jacob said, "First sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm about to die. So of what use then is the birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "First swear to me." So he swore to him and sold the birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. And so that's the testimony about Esau, is that the birthright didn't mean anything to him anyway. He didn't care about it. That's probably not the way most folks would feel about it, being firstborn, and would probably feel some sense of responsibility and probably look forward to that day and would not, you know, just sell it over a bowl of soup. You know, just, "Yeah, man, I'm so hungry. Yeah, you can have my birthright. Just let me have some food." Why didn't he just go out and kill something and prepare it himself? He was hungry, man. That's hungry. He wanted some stew. So I said all this because I just want us to get this sense, the idea of just the humanness that's going on here. Just because God has spoken His will doesn't mean that everybody is moving and acting toward that point and going to see that it's done. But I want you to look with me at this next scripture. And this is where Jacob deceived his father in order to get the blessing from Isaac, okay? So it says, "Then his father Isaac said to him, 'Come near and kiss me, my son.'" And I'm just going to come in the middle of this, all right? "So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of the garments and blessed him. And here's what he said: 'See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed is everyone who curses you, and blessed is everyone who blesses you.'" Now, that's the blessing that he pronounced. And when he pronounced it, he thought he was pronouncing it over Esau. He had sent Esau out to kill, kill something, bring it back, prepare it, and bring this luscious meal to his father, because he loved the the game, you know, the taste of the wild game. And then he was going to pronounce the blessing on him. Well, Rebecca heard about that, and she knew that that was going to happen, so she prepared a meal. She could do that. She could prepare something just like Esau could. And then she dressed her son up, and she got him all hairy, and so he would feel, and she, you know, made sure that there was the smell of the outdoors on the hairy stuff she put on him. And he goes in and deceives his dad. Tells his dad that he is Esau. And so Isaac believes that he's pronouncing the blessing on Esau. Look at all of the underhanded, earthly, fleshly stuff that's going on here. Now, some could say, well, it was probably Rebecca who was not really, you know, she was definitely being deceiving, but she was trying to help fulfill the word that the Lord had spoken to her during her pregnancy, that the older was going to serve the younger. And so she knew that the younger needed to be the one to receive the birthright. Well, that could be, but still she's going about it in an unhanded manner, right? So nobody's free of guilt in this little scenario that's going on here, right? Everybody's being about as human and as fleshly as you possibly could be. And Esau, he doesn't even care. He already sold the thing, you know, for a meal.
He does care. He does.
That's
care.
Not true.
He does.
That's
true.
He does care.
But here's the point. But here's the point.
In Hebrews,
by faith,
it says, by faith,
Isaac, blessed
Jacob.
He didn't know it was Jacob.
What did Isaac really do in faith?
He delivered the blessing in faith.
And Jacob, he didn't care that his daddy didn't know that it was him. He knew that if Isaac speaks the blessing over me, the blessing will follow me. Why? Well, one reason is because it's the blessing of God, but it's being pronounced by his father. It can only be pronounced over one of them. Later, Esau comes in. He says, well, here I am, bless me. And he does give him a type of blessing, but he says, I can't give you the blessing that I've already pronounced on your brother. You only get that blessing one time. The younger one got it, you know? And it was in the grand scheme of things, even though there was so much humanness involved in this and so much fleshly desire, if you will, the blessing that was spoken, it wasn't spoken with ill intent. It wasn't spoken underhandedly. It was spoken true and in full faith toward God. Isaac fully believed that when he spoke that blessing, that it was going to be passed on to his descendant, and that his son would go forth in that blessing and would prosper in that blessing, and God would see to it that it happened. That's why Hebrews says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. Because he did it. He did it by faith. Didn't matter that he was being deceived. It was a faith operation, and something holy was being said. Something holy was being delivered, and something holy came upon the one who actually received it through deception. It's sort of interesting how things like that occur, but it does not diminish the fact that Isaac spoke that blessing in faith. Now, I think I went the wrong way. Excuse me just a second. I may have, oh, I did. So verse 21 says, by faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. And so here's another occurrence where it's Jacob this time. After he's lived his life, his whole life long, after he has wrestled with the angel. Did you know when he wrestled with the angel, the next day, one of the things that the angel said to him was that his name would no longer be Jacob, that it would be Israel. And yet, over the next few chapters, and which probably cover another few years, people are referring to him as Jacob. But then God meets with him again and declares it to him and says, your name is no longer going to be Jacob. You're going to be called Israel. And although in Hebrews, he says, by faith Jacob did this when he was dying. By the time he did it, his name was actually Israel. And so looking at this, it says, and Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your offspring also. And then Joseph removed them from his knees and bowed before him with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand. And so Joseph was placing them so that the oldest would be on the right hand of Israel, so that the one that was the oldest would be blessed first, while the other one was receiving the blessing with the left hand. So he brought them near to him, and Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the hand of Ephraim, which was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys. And in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. And let them grow in multitude in the midst of the earth. See, the point here is really about the blessing. Again, Joseph tried to correct him and tell him, no, you need to switch your hands back. You've got your hands on the wrong ones. And he said, no, it's happening the way it's supposed to happen. And Israel pronounced this blessing. But look at the words of the blessing again. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. This is a man who has maybe toiled a lot for a lot of years, and maybe he started out in a life of deception, but in the midst of it all, even in the midst of all the humanness, even in the midst of all the failures, the sins, the personal sins that are evident in his life, he trusted God. His faith was in God. He looked to God as his shepherd all of his life long, all of his days. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil. He knows who's been embalmed in his life. Bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow in a multitude in the midst of the earth. Isn't that wonderful? All of that he spoke by faith, because he put his faith and his trust in God. Isaac, whether it's Abraham, whether it's Isaac, whether it's Jacob, whether it's Joseph, as we look through it all, everybody, has their humanness, has their has their faults and their sinful ways. But walking with God is not about being perfect. Walking before God is about walking a life of faith. And in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our trouble, still speaking forth that our faith is in God. Looking to Him for help in our time of need. In the midst of our struggle, helping us through. Helping us to see what's best. Jacob's a wonderful example of one that you can look at. You can see how God worked on him. How God changed his life. How he started out in one way, but he ended up completely different. Mm. So look at Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, both of these, they pronounce these blessings at the very end of their life. But Joseph, when he was dying, he made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. So I want you to look at this because it's pretty cool. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die. So Joseph's brothers, that would be the leaders of the other 11 tribes, right? Okay. Who are now in Egypt with him. And he is now in his old age. They're not under bondage yet. They're just living there and they're prospering there and they've been blessed there. And he says, I'm about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to a land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry me up. You shall carry up my bones from here. In other words, it says after that, that they embalmed him and they put him in a coffin there in Egypt. But he was saying, I'm not going to be left in Egypt. You're carrying me back to the promised land. You're going to live here in this land for a while longer. And they're going to experience, he didn't say it here, but they're going to experience 400 years of bondage. But they know that Joseph spoke by faith and said, you're not going to stay in bondage forever. He didn't have to say those words, but he said, you're going to come out of this land. God's going to deliver you. And when he does, take my bones and take them back to the promised land. You're going back to the land that God gave to our fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Man, think about what the children of Israel would have to live under for the next 400 years. But you know that one of the things they hold on to, that they held on to for 400 years and passed down from generation to generation, were the words of Joseph, who had heard from God and who had spoke forth these words in faith that God was not going to leave them there. But he was going to deliver them and take them back to the promised land. Hallelujah. Our God is faithful. My goodness. Praise be to God. God is so good. He's always been faithful to us. He loves us dearly. He loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. Gave his Son. And his Son came willingly, lived this life, and laid his life down willingly, and spoke not a word of deliverance. Man, God loves us. And we have a faith, a rich heritage of faith that has been passed on to us. And it is the faith that we need to continue to speak forth. We need to continue to speak forth the blessing of God. And we need to continue to look to His Word to receive the blessing of God, to see just how He has blessed us. I love that scripture in the first chapter of Ephesians that says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And I don't even think we really understand the meaning of that. God has blessed us, spoken the blessing over us, every spiritual blessing that there is. And they're all ours in Christ Jesus. They're yes, they're amen. Our testimony should be that our faith is in Him, that we're speaking forth the words of faith. I'm going to ask the musicians to come, and we're going to sing this hymn of invitation. And as we do, if the Spirit of God speak into your heart today, then I would ask that you would make room for that invitation. Sometimes we feel as though the Spirit may be speaking to us, that the Spirit may be dealing with us, but we just sort of suppress it a little bit, or we sort of think, maybe that's just me. In this life, His sheep will know His voice, and when He's speaking, we need to obey. And in the midst of that, God does wonderful things. In the midst of that, He brings forth His salvation. He brings forth deliverance. He brings forth healing. However the Spirit of God may be speaking to you today, whatever your need is, come. And we will pray and we will receive from the Lord together His blessing. Would you stand as we sing?
Hymn 433.